for Rod Bradford, Evan Drellick, and Chris Vellani on Sports Radio WEEI.
Rock Martinez lead the pitch. Swinging a high fly center field. It's deep enough. Way back it goes. And this ball is gone. A grand slam on the flat ball. Walk-off grand slam. Xander Bogaerts. The Red Sox win it 6-2. Xander with his third grand slam of the season as he hit the 2-0 pitch out. And the Red Sox walk it off on the Xander slam. He's being mobbed at home plate by his teammates.
Who says baseball's not exciting? All Joe Castiglione wanted was a sacrifice fly there. The grand slam was just icing on the cake.
You hear Ack? Ack was so good yesterday at the end of that game.
Was it backdoor Johnson?
Excuse me?
That no. Definitely happened. No. He's starting today. Backdoor Johnson.
Yes.
By the way, trending now brought to you by New England Honda dealers, Vellani, Bradford, Drellick, all together as we knew we would be this week.
What was that exciting open? That was a very unique open, Kyle. That was very unique.
I do the best that I can, Rob.
I know, but I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying it was very unique.
Well, you like it because it's the audio. Is this on this time? Is this working?
By yeah, I can hear
you. That's good. Unfortunately, yeah.
You like it because it's the music to the Bradfo show.
Yeah, but I expected something after it.
Bradfo show.
Or something. There was no Let's Get After It. There was no Evan Drellick in it. There was
it's
no
time to party. I would have liked that.
That would have been a good one, right?
He should keep up with that. Ek should make It's Time to Party his line now.
Yes, and I did do a blog post off of Ek calling Tyler Clippard's splitter garbage.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes.
How's the traffic on that?
It's very good.
Somebody got a bonus from that?
Yes. Maybe.
You gotta get those uniques up, baby.
How many times do you hear an announcer call pitch garbage? Not too often.
That wasn't wrong.
He was not wrong.
When he just started taunting him, throw it again.
It was
amazing. Throw it again. Come on, throw it again.
And then in the middle, when Bogaerts hits the ball, you hear Ack in the middle of it. This is why I like it. The reaction of the guy on the couch. Get out. You know, like in the middle of Dave O'Brien's call.
Well, it's like the, God, I'm blanking on his name now because it's early in the morning. The Blue Jays. Who does
announcer?
The game? Yeah. Who's the game
know.
For the Blue Jays?
It's Canada. Who cares?
It's somebody, well, when I was in Canada, watching the game, was killing some time before
it's
my flight.
Chris.
Great it John. Is always before. And it was the same kind of thing. Like the ball, get up, get down. It was like he was playing golf, just willing the ball to go wherever
he
wanted
isn't it
to go.
Isn't that the Hawk Harrelson? Get up, stretch. Right, that's what isn't that the great Hawk Harrelson call?
Well,
it's time to party should be a continuation. Also, the walk off was not nearly as exciting as Mookie's 13 pitch grand slam.
No, that was the bat of the year.
Oh, well, because this could have been a sacrifice fly; it would have made a difference.
Well, that's why he said it's deep enough. That was, you know, the weight lifted off his shoulders. Okay, the Red Sox are going to win. It's deep enough. It's a sacrifice fly. Then when it went out, that was just gravy.
Yes, because Ek wanted to go out. He said, get out.
That's right.
Whatever Ack asked.
Buck Martinez.
There
that's
you go.
What it is.
Former
Buck
manager.
Martinez, yes. Yeah.
Who could have forgotten that moment?
Well,
yes.
We all remember.
We all remember our moments in Canada, and that was Chris Vellani's.
Hawk Harrelson doesn't do the White Sox games anymore.
I think this is his last year, unless last year was his last year.
Last year is his last year. Jason Benetti is there, one of my college buddies. So they're play-by-play guy now.
Give us the whole broadcasting landscape, Chris.
Let's bring it back to me. Let's bring it back to me here.
That's what we do on this program.
Anything wrong. Well, this is the last time you guys are going to have me to kick around for a while. So
where are you going?
I'm out the next month.
I'm sorry, 4 weeks
a
in
month
a row
of Sundays, as they say.
Radio show?
A month of Sundays. Well, there was a scheduling snafu. I was supposed to be off this week. There was a change that was made.
Were no cranky, angry texts sent from Rob Bradford yesterday.
No.
I could have been in Washington getting ready for the celebrity softball game right now if I just knew this.
You are doing your company better by staying here.
I know. I agree. That's what I'm doing.
No question.
That's why I did it.
Your original plan was bad.
It was not.
It absolutely was not. All right. We don't have to do the drama of scheduling the show. Why, Chris, will you not be here the next 4 weeks?
Well, I'm working this week, so I took next week off. I'm moving. Then the week after that, I'm in Mattapoisett. Week after that, I got the Pan Mass Challenge. I look forward to all of your donations. PMC.org/CV0042. And the weekend after that, I know you just love me saying that. The weekend after that, I will be back in Mattapoisett.
What is Mattapoisett?
Mattapoisett. It's on the south coast. It's like a summery, you know, hang on the watery
lobster
roll.
So what do you do there? You go have ice cream at the little ice cream shop?
I'm going to have ice cream at the ice cream shop, have some lobster rolls, play some golf. That's going to be the plan.
Are you going to be gone for another month, too?
No, I'm dedicated to my job.
Except you're not going to be here next week.
No, I am.
Oh, you are?
I am. I'm coming back unless you think we shouldn't.
What?
I'm going to Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
And the plan right now is to return on Saturday night so I can be back for this show.
You have a girlfriend?
Sunday morning. I do.
I heard.
I didn't even mention a girlfriend.
You proposed to her yet?
No.
You woke up.
Stay on track, Rob. You woke up this morning, right?
Correct.
Linear Sunday morning show. Right. We are going to stay in a line. Right.
By the way, as long as we're doing airing of grievances, who wrote this trending now?
That would be yours truly.
Okay. So if the Indians, and look, it's my, I Ron Burgundy'd it and just read what you wrote, but. The Indians won yesterday, or the Yankees won yesterday, right?
That's correct.
So did the Red Sox. So how did the lead shrink?
Great point.
Yes. We're off to a rip-roaring start. Red Sox are still 3.5 up in the division.
I feel like Kyle is going to get a lot of momentum as the show goes on.
Thanks, Rob.
You feel that way, Kyle?
I feel it, yes.
You feel like you got off to a little bit of a slow start. With the open and the trending.
It's early.
The open was fine.
Thank you, Evan.
There's nothing wrong with the open.
Okay.
I thought the open was actually creative.
Maybe I'm wrong. And you're integrating the broadcast. It's the synergy. It's good. I take that back. Maybe just the trending. Your trendings are going to get much better.
One for two.
We look forward to that. The community does. So the Red Sox are 3.5 up still on the Yankees. No need to worry there. So a little scheduling snafu, some angry texts, some things were said.
Me and Rob the next 4 weeks.
Some things were said, but
what did I do when I walked in the studio?
You gave me a hug.
I immediately hugged you.
Yes.
As I do for everybody in the studio at all
times. I was going to say, that's part of the course.
Rob is embracing the drama of the station now. After his week on the morning show here, he's decided that he needs to play the heel, and he couldn't just be happy. He's one of these people that needs to, basically, you're David Price. There's got to be something wrong. You got to be cranky at some point in your day.
I don't even know where to go with this, Evan. I'll
give you a hug, dude.
I don't even know where to go with this, honestly.
I'm just saying.
I embrace being me, Evan. I embrace
reading
being
those
me.
Text messages yesterday, Rob.
That's me.
Clearly
that was me.
You could tell which side I was going to land on.
That
here,
was me.
But it would not have been yours.
It felt like you're going to be pro Villani.
I'm pro logic in 99% of situations.
He's pro anybody, not me.
How dare you not tell me about a decision I made 2 hours ago? I mean,
does it feel good, Chris, that Evan's on your side?
I don't know.
Usually it does not feel good. I can tell you that.
I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Well, there was a scheduling snafu. I ended up coming in this week. So now I was going to take a stretch of 3 out of 4 Sundays off. But with the switch, it now becomes 4 Sundays.
Does anybody push back when you do that?
No.
So I could do that too?
Yes. Please.
And I would still have a job?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you still had a job after this week, so it's
yeah, that is actually
it's amazing.
A minor miracle in its own right.
Nobody really pushes back. It is what it is. You know, like I got stuff to do. I got a life. It's summer, man. You gotta get out there. You gotta live.
I've got a few Red Sox questions that have been.
Look at this guy.
Doctor.
Thinks he's doing
prep.
A sports show.
Is it not?
All right, give us some Red Sox questions. We'll get this thing on the rails.
You watch this first half unfold. Does it feel slightly unbelievable? I'm not talking about this question of are they as good. They're obviously a very good team, but it's like they haven't lost a single game that you go back and go, man, they really should have won that game. Opening day, maybe. Maybe there's one or two others you go, damn, they let that one get away. But they won every
single
game they should have won.
Yeah, they certainly let opening day
and some
get
Chris
away,
Sale
but,
starts
yeah.
early on. Maybe that's the only other thing I can think
Wasted
of.
Wasted a couple of those.
Wasted a couple Chris Sale starts. But by and large, every time they're in a situation like this, the bullpen doesn't blow it. They don't let inherited runs score. It feels inevitable that they will somehow.
But
pull
you
it
make
out.
It seem like it's like a dream type scenario. See, to me it
a
feels
little bit.
To me it feels more 2007 than 2013 in that they're a machine and they're executing like a machine. In 2013 it felt dreamlike because it was so unexpected. This is a really good team.
In 2013, you had a community backdrop,
right? And even if you want to set that aside, which I know you can't, but because that's part of their story. But if you want to set that aside, they were a last place team. With a calamity in terms of the managerial situation, turn that around. This year, you had a really good team last year that got better in the offseason. So you could look at it and say they're doing, in some senses, what they were expected to do. Maybe not the total volume of wins, the fact that they're almost assured to be a 100-win team for the first time since 1946. But you expected this. This is what they were supposed to do. You come back with healthy David Price, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts having a better bounce back year than you thought. But we knew that Martinez was going to change his entire lineup.
This is a bounce back year. This is, I believe if he had played as many games as Trout at this point, he would be the wins above replacement leader. Like statistically, he
God
has,
knows well, that's all that matters.
He's better than Trout right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, and everyone's going to lean on you. And you heard the Keith Laws of the world saying, how dare you even bring up that conversation with Mookie
when
Betts.
When did he say that?
It said earlier in the year, but I'm guessing that there's still an element who are still digging in on this, right? Correct?
I think the only reason people would still dig in.
Because of war.
But let me make
well,
the
longevity.
Point about war is cumulative.
Well, war and that Trout has done this for a long time. This has always been the argument when the Red Sox played the Angels for the first time and this came up for the first time this year. How dare you do this? Because Trout has done it since 2012 and Mookie's only done it for this year and maybe 2 years ago. But that we're talking about right now. We're talking about what we're seeing right now with Mookie Betts versus Mike Trout.
This was a war award.
Yes, there you go. It is. That's exactly what it is.
Tell Kyle that's a good drop.
A
now?
Good drop, Kyle. Plus one.
Were you giving
We used to do that. We used to give plus minus. If you're a plus one, Kyle.
Were you giving some sort of speech in a hallway or a men's room or something like that? Or were you on
that?
Fan
was that
cred?
Nessun? Was that Nessun? No, I definitely was not on fan cred.
I think it was Nessun.
Nessun, yeah.
It had a fan cred quality.
It sure did.
Audio to it.
Yeah, it sure did.
Half a season here.
It sure did.
Is different than a month. I think the Mookie Trout conversation sparked up early in the year when it's just like, all right, it's a month. We'll see what Mookie Betts is doing. But you look at all the underlying numbers, and I'm not going to read off the exit velocity here. We don't have to go into all the
save it for the 10
rate metrics and all this.
It's the money.
But Mookie is a different player. He's a different player than he was in 2016 and 2017.
Yeah, he's a different player than he was the first week of the season, Evan. That's what he says. He said he's a different hitter. He changed the way he swings. But that
started in spring training.
Right, but he has evolved into this player. What I'm saying is that the player that we see right now is the best player in baseball. He is better than Mike Trout. And a lot of people are still throughout baseball are still dug in on how dare you say that. And a lot of it is illogical because of he's done it so long and Mookie hasn't done it long enough. Well, all I can tell you is the player that we're seeing right now is better than Mike Trout.
But that's
by a lot?
That's also
no, not by a lot.
But it's clear. It's not by a lot, but it's clear, if that makes sense. It's not a huge margin, but it's also, to me, not up for debate
at
this point.
So basically, you're both saying that you would guarantee and promise that if both stay healthy from here on out the rest of the year, the numbers for Mookie Betts would clearly be better than Mike Trout's.
I don't think
anybody could look at home run, slugging, OBP, average, whatever, and get into.
I don't know what Rob, but that's not what we just said. We said that right now, as we sit here on July 15th, one player is better than the other.
But it becomes a question of confidence in moving forward. How much of this is predictive?
It's a different question. And Trout has the longer track record, so you'd probably have to defer to him in some sense.
At a certain point, I think a half a season of this Mookie starts for me to make me believe that if he were to stay healthy, he would be, let's not say better, just as good as Trout.
Evan, I have two questions, all right? Number one, do you have a girlfriend? Number two, Mookie Betts.
Why'd you go on fan
cred? Do you want me to read Zarbano's email about tangents?
Mookie Betts versus Mike Trout. Who is going to, if you had to guess right now, who is going to win the MVP?
Mookie Betts, because the voters, what's going to happen here is you're going to have if they're both healthy, let's assume, and let's pray. I wake up every morning praying for world peace and that Mookie Betts and Mike Trout
stay healthy.
Is there
someone next to you when you wake up?
It depends on the day.
Okay. Today?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
It's Felger on FanCred.
Good for you.
Yes. Kirk didn't want to cuddle this morning, but that's, I'm getting a phone call right now. It's a good thing I put my phone on mute. That's what a pro does.
And then he addresses it on the air. Okay.
Close, Evan. You're so close.
I'm learning. I'm thinking as I go. I'm making choices as I move.
We all are. I chose to come in this morning. I'm already regretting it. 9:16. But please, go ahead. Mike Trout.
Continue.
Mookie
MVP,
Betts.
MVP.
If they're
Mookie
healthy.
Mookie Betts versus Mike Trout.
Health.
Girlfriend.
So I wake up every morning praying that they are both going to be healthy. And I have no idea what the point I was going to make is. Thank you. I hope you're both happy.
If they're both healthy at the end of the year, that's the direction you were going.
The voters.
You think
the MVP voters. Yeah, because if they're both healthy, it's not going to be too far apart. If it's one win above replacement, even two, the winning team, Mookie Betts' team, is going to get that credit. Mookie's going to get the Baseball Writers Association.
So when I voted, did you have a problem? Did this keep you up at night? When I voted, I had an MVP vote last year, and I don't even think I gave Mookie, maybe I gave a late vote for. I don't even think I voted for him in the top 10. But Mike Trout, I think I voted 9th or 10th.
And yeah, that was a bad vote.
Why?
He didn't deserve to be that far down.
Why? He played in what, 115 games?
I just wouldn't have put him that far down. But whatever. When you start arguing the 6th and the 9th place on a ballot, who cares?
You lose me on that argument.
Yeah, but this is...
We're talking top three.
This is my point with Trout, though, is that everyone ties themselves into knots to defend Mike Trout, and usually it comes back to war. And with the argument with Mike Trout voting him in the 3rd and 4th of the MVP balloting, even though he had played 115 games, it was because look at his war. Okay.
But my point is this year, even those who want to look at war, even if Mike Trout is ahead, and if the Angels don't make the playoffs, people are going to say, okay, the difference between Betts and Trout is negligible.
Right now, if the voting happened today, Mookie Betts would win the MVP.
If we're talking about value, though, and sometimes people like to harp on that award, is this a best player award or is this a value award?
It's whatever you want it to be by the rules, the definition.
Right.
It's whatever you want it to be.
But if you're harping on that one word, value, I know he doesn't play in the field nearly as much or nearly as well, but I throw J.D. Martinez in there. The way that he's changed this lineup, how many home runs he's hit in Red Sox wins, the help that he has given, that's the biggest direct impact is the way that he's helped Mookie Betts. And I still maintain, and I know, Evan, you and I have fought about this before, and it's not necessarily a statistical argument, but I don't think there's a better hitter in baseball. There's just things that guy can do.
I agree with you.
We got to parse it, because statistically that becomes a tougher case to make, but he just does things in the batter's box that nobody else can do.
So that's the problem, though, is that a lot of these voters are going to immediately go to war, as I astutely pointed out on Nesson. But you have J.D. Martinez right now. He has a 3.1 war. He is 23rd in the major leagues in war. 23rd.
Yeah, I just
don't
care.
You think you're going to get a situation where people are going to look at the Red Sox and go, okay, Mookie's the guy. No, J.D.'s the guy. So you're going to split the vote between Mookie and J.D. And then Trout's going to sneak in.
Why?
I mean, there's two voters from each city. Right? So what are you splitting? Two?
Well, if somebody looks and says, I can't, I could see people believing that.
No one cares. No, if you're voting in Kansas City, you're not caring saying, oh my goodness, I can't vote two Boston guys back to back.
It's not about Boston guys. The point being that if this is the most valuable player in the league, how could one team, there are going to be people who feel that one team cannot have two MVPs, essentially.
That is dumb.
This guy,
who would think that?
You don't
apparently people
that
in
line
Kansas
of logic?
City.
You don't see that line of thinking.
No, for dumb people.
Well, I can't put both JD and Mookie ahead of Mike Trout. You don't think somebody's gonna think that?
Why?
So you might have a you're gonna.
JD Martinez
will end up being Bernie.
To answer your question, I can see some dumb person thinking that, but I would hope that there aren't a lot of dumb people voting.
You're gonna have the Bernie contingent is gonna screw over Hillary in this case, and you're gonna end up with Trump. That's what's gonna happen.
Who gets the superdelegate?
Trump is
Trout.
Trump is Trout.
How does he feel about
Trout
that?
Is smarter than Trump.
I prefer to call it the Ross Perot contingent, okay? Let's play to our demographic.
You're really dating yourself here.
Well, it's Rob's playing to the demographic.
I cannot confirm or deny I voted for him.
Like Rita.
You voted for Ross Perot?
I don't remember.
Why?
I voted for Ross.
I think it was the first time I got a chance to vote. I was trying to be different.
Do you remember anything you vote for? You don't know what you did in the MVP
race
last year.
I distinctly remember voting for Ross Perot in the we did a little school Memorial Elementary School election.
He was the hot candidate in Milford.
It was circa 1992. Yeah, it was fantastic. Everybody was loving them some Ross Perot.
But back then. To your point, Evan, I just can't see that happening.
I don't see why this is such a far-fetched point. That people are going to say
it's a point, it's but
JD
it's a far
Mookie
point.
And you're going to have
because
do you have a vote this year?
You have a vote for anything this year?
I think I have Rookie of the Year.
Okay, if you had when you have the Rookie of the Year vote, and this is a bad example because usually you don't have
Ryan
two rookies.
Brazier is my choice.
If you had the Goldust Twins, the Jim Rice and Fred Lynn, right? And you had that situation.
We're really pulling out all the modern references
back
today.
I'm playing the demographic. Like 1970.
Rita appreciates
1975. People wouldn't say, hey, oh my goodness, I can't vote for Jim Rice and Fred Lynn back to back.
I will go into newspapers.com's archives in the break, and I'm going to find somebody's thinking about Jim Rice and Fred Lynn, and I will prove you wrong.
I like the cut of their jib. It's probably going to be one of their lines.
Do you agree? All right, but you see, yes or no? it is JD who would detract from Mookie, because Mookie is going to be the overwhelming candidate because of defense. That's just the what you're talking about, how JD might have put Mookie over the top and the influence he's had in the lineup. All that stuff is great. It's not going to be what most voters look at.
Yeah, because most voters aren't looking at this team on a day-to-day basis.
Most voters are scared of Twitter. That's what I've come to realize, is how much
they don't want to be ripped.
Twitter.
Oh yeah, when I voted Trout for 10th or whatever it was last year, I got heat for it. I didn't care.
Yeah, because you're an idiot. I mean, you deserve it.
No, but I could easily defend that vote. Easily.
I think there is some trouble to be found on Twitter.
There you go.
Never heard that drop.
617-779-7937, the phone number. We got the entire band here together this morning on a Sunday.
Maybe the last time ever.
Maybe the last time ever. Who knows? I could be replaced. This is going to be like a Wally Pipp situation.
No, but you're saying you're going to be away forever, and then by then Evan will do something stupid and go on his merry way. So
a month is a long time.
A lot of things can happen in a month.
I'm just thinking about all the things I'm going to be doing the next month of Sundays.
Oh, wow. The Summer of Alani.
And what's this place called with the ice cream?
Mattapoisett.
That's what they put on the sign. Home of the ice cream.
Home of ice cream. Mattapoisett.
I don't know. You lost me halfway through
there.
There's actually
how to spell it. You're going there 2 weeks.
Mattapoisett.
Remember this, Evan, for when you're covering the Thanksgiving gay game. Right?
They're the seahorses, too. There's a big seahorse.
You need the dateline.
There's a big seahorse named Salty. He's in the middle of town.
Really?
Yes.
Rob used to love Salt of Lamacchia.
Ice cream and a seahorse?
And a seahorse. And great lobster rolls, too.
Ooh.
Looking forward to it. Brian in Connecticut wants to chime in on Drellick, and he says he's wrong, so he goes right to the top of the queue. Hello, Brian.
Hi, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Evan, yeah, I'm hoping we can put to bed this idea about, like, a baseball team's playoff status impacting the MVP vote for a guy. I think one baseball player can have really just a minimal effect on an overall team's performance. If you got a guy like Trout who gets, like, 10 wins above replacement or whatever you want to measure him, he takes a 500 team and
Brian, let me give you a scenario really quickly, okay? If you have let's say Mookie and Trout are basically tied in wins above replacement, who are you giving it to?
Okay, I don't know, because
what if they're one war apart?
Happen based on how people will vote. Or are you making an argument about what should happen? Because I don't think
it's a bit of both. Because I think
around another baseball player suck if they have a bad bullpen, if you know a bunch of guys in the bottom of the lineup don't hit, or the closer blows 8 or 9 games, you know, in a season.
No, Brian, I agree with you. You can't punish A-Rod for his team sucking. I think there is something to be said, some small amount to be said for how a team performs down the stretch and how a player performs down the stretch in an important run. The question I have is, where do you draw the line? If two players are equal, where is the point where you say, or close to equal, where you say, okay, you know what? The performance matters more than the winning team. If they're one war apart. And by the way, which war are you using? Are you using FanGraphs or using Baseball Reference?
In the last month of the season or something like that, for sure. Especially, you know, if Mookie is performing at the same level as Trout, you know, for a 1 month playoff stretch or something like that. But I don't think the team's overall performance should affect that. I don't think you should summarily dismiss a guy from the MVP race.
No, it is not summarily dismissing. It's a scenario that's probably going to play out here where these two are close. And it's a matter of how much performance difference would make you overlook the difference in team performance.
I think Mookie's better just because he's a slightly better defensive player. I think right field is a much more challenging position than center field, and he's got a much better arm than Trout, and I think that's the little nuanced definition.
We don't do nuance on this station, Brian. Sorry. That's not our thing here.
Okay, sorry, man.
At least you apologize. We appreciate
Kyle,
it.
Kyle, can you put up a poll, please? Which people prefer, Baseball Reference or FanGraphs, when it comes to war?
On it.
That's what
wins
we have to know.
War wins above replacement, yes.
This, we have to know this.
You don't like nuance.
617-779-7937, the phone number. We've got the whole band back together. The Three Best Friends show is off and running. Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, it's time for Rob Bradford, Evan Drellick, and Chris Volani on on Sports Radio WEEI.
Knapp is ready in the stretch, set at the belt, checks the runners. The lefty comes home. Runners go, swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts, his fourth career grand slam. And the Red Sox lead it 5-2. What an at-bat. What a moment. What an incredible at-bat by an incredible player, Mookie Betts. Unbelievable.
Let's go, Red Sox. Come on, Rob. Let's go, Red Sox.
Did you have shivers, Evan? Shivers down your spine?
No, not shivers.
What did you have you down your spine?
It was a really cool moment.
The overmodulation kind of got me a little bit.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a little overmodulated.
Are you blaming Doug Lane for that?
I did.
Ooh.
I don't know.
I did.
Spicy. Sad. I think he does a great job.
He does.
I thought the modulation was perfect.
It's great modulation.
I thought 98.5's modulation was terrible.
Modulation's
excellent.
Well, and we talked about this during the morning show, and Kyle could probably dig it up real quick, but this is why I thought it was so silly that Castig freaked out when Porcello hit that double off of Scherzer. It was like the exact same level of excitement from Castig when Porcello hits a...
Don't you want them to be excited?
Yes, but that I thought was a little over the top.
So
like, Castig sounded like Porcello just won the World Series.
Listen, like...
Mookie Betts won the World Series the other day. I don't know if you know this.
When Rich Hill got a strikeout, Joe would get excited. He gets excited.
He's made a Ross Perot.
I have no problem with Joe
Castiglione
getting excited over random things.
What
I have no
Rich
problem
Hill
with that.
Have to do with anything?
Because he loves Rich Hill more than life itself.
He does have a tendency, though, anytime the ball gets airborne, to make you think that it's going to be...
No, not like Troop did.
Oh, my... Yeah, everything was high and deep.
That was bizarre.
Left fielder's pounding his glove, waiting for it to come down just behind the shortstop, and you think it's going over the monster.
Yeah, I have no problem. I have no problem with them getting excited over moments in baseball, because baseball is a glorious game.
It's okay for us to be sincere and enjoy. You know, there's some pressure, I feel like, to be cynical and always. But there's always a but we have to attach to fine moments in the Red Sox season. I think there are a few days of the year we can set aside and just say, wow, this was great. Baseball is awesome today, guys. And that's how I felt about it.
What did I yell? You were in the press box with me when Mookie Betts hit that
Yahtzee!
Grand slam. No.
Boom sauce!
Did you actually yell?
Yeah. Boom sauce!
I'm wearing my noise-canceling headphones, which I don't know how... There's a lot of us who complain about other people in the press box chattering during the game. Just put noise-canceling headphones on and ignore these people. People try to talk to me. I don't talk back. If I'm not interested in
But in fairness, you don't talk back. You talk to yourself a lot.
Why do people... want to talk during or not want people to talk during the game?
A lot of people sit there. What kind of stream of consciousness and like you just like I don't whatever. But I think that with
you're
Evan
just sit there.
I don't think
you showed up in a press box.
I don't think
Chris,
Evan's criticism is fair because
I am in the press box. I'm in the radio booth listening to the dulcet tones of Tim Neverett and Joe Castiglione and watching Doug Lane properly modulate. Things.
Evan talks to himself more than any human being I've ever seen.
That's not true.
No, that is true. I mean, it's probably true. It's a thing, whatever. But
I mean, I do talk to myself.
You do. With or without the headphones, you're sitting there. I turn to you. I'm like, Evan, who are you talking to? And you're just talking to yourself.
Well, I don't hear you because I have the headphones on.
No, it's bizarre. You know what you're saying?
Who are you asking that question
to if
I don't hear you?
You know what you're saying to yourself?
It's almost like you're talking to yourself.
You know what you're saying to yourself always? You're saying Mookie Betts should be the MVP over Mike Trout.
You can't spell MVP without M?
Yeah, but they both start with M.
MLB, Marcus Lynn Betts.
All right. 617-779-7937. Rob in Charlestown up next on WEEI. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, guys. You know, you're probably going to shut this down right away, but the name that I haven't heard at all is Severino. I mean, if by any chance the Yankees surpass the Sox and end up in first place with the season he's having, again, I realize he's a pitcher, but, you know, it's a position on the field just like the DH. Why wouldn't you consider him as the MVP with the season he's having?
Why are you going to give it to him over Sale?
Again, another argument. I mean, absolutely. You could argue that as well. I think the number is for Sale might be a little bit skewed as far as wins and losses, so that's a little different. And that comes down to, you know, what the argument was from the other gentleman before me that, you know, can't blame the player for what his team does, so to speak. But, you know, this war, I don't know when this war came into effect. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I don't ever remember them worrying about, the war and its effect on a player. If a player is having that such a year, he has to be considered the MVP, regardless of where his team falls. A last place team could have an MVP. If a guy won a triple crown and he was on a last place team, why wouldn't he be considered it, regardless of his war?
Chris Sale, entering today has a 4.9 wins above replacement per Fangraphs.
Fangraphs? Okay,
that is
thank
the,
God.
That
oh.
is the lead.
It's not the one I go to, though.
You go well, Baseball
pitcher
Reference?
Pitcher WAR, it is different. Oh, that's where you see yeah. difference between Baseball Reference.
Did we put up
reference.
A poll? Did we put up
poll
that poll?
Is just posted.
Oh, the poll is just, we had to know this. Baseball Reference or Fangraphs?
Luis Severino.
War. Yes.
Has a 4.0
Ooh,
wins
interesting.
Above replacement. So he is seventh in the majors in pitcher WAR.
Can I go to a more
Chris Sale is
it
tied.
Does, but it does feel like voters, rightly or wrongly, also fall back on some of the traditional statistics when it comes to evaluating pitchers for these types of awards. So the 14-2 record, which I understand you might dismiss a little bit as somewhat of a product of circumstance.
He also has the eighth best ERA in Major League Baseball. If you have that, you aren't going to win an MVP as a pitcher. You
right.
just aren't. I mean,
well,
all,
and
all
but
due
also,
respect to the wins.
To win an MVP as a pitcher, it's also circumstantial in the sense that if there's no other obvious position player candidate, in this case, there's multiple
oh,
obvious
yes.
position player candidates.
Well,
so it's just not a year for a pitcher to win the MVP.
To go back to whichever WAR you choose, Evan, the Baseball Reference or Fangraphs.
I went to Quaker school. I'm a conscientious objector, but go on.
Okay. Whichever one you choose, it is going to be if J.D. Martinez, he's in the mix. He's in the mix for Triple Crown. It's not out of the realm of possibility he won't win the Triple Crown. Yet we're talking about the guy with the 21st best WAR in baseball. So
what was Miguel Cabrera's WAR? That was the big debate, right? The MVP debate that pitted brother against brother,
yeah.
that tore families apart, tore communities apart, was Miguel Cabrera winning the Triple Crown versus Mike Trout, who had, and even the point about the success of the team was brought up that year. One team made the playoffs, the other didn't, but the Angels actually won more games than the Tigers. They were just in a tougher division. There were so many layers to that. Again, tore families apart. I know people that they still, their brothers haven't been able to talk to each other since
Evan
then.
And I just started talking again because of it. But it's a good example because J.D. Martinez could do that exact thing. I don't think that he's going to overtake Betts or Altuve for the batting average, but he's in the mix for it. He wins Triple Crown. Mookie and Trout have these great WARs. Who do you vote for?
So the story
I vote
I
for Martinez.
Back.
But
do you? A lot of people will immediately
again,
say.
Again, nothing to do with the Triple Crown. I'm putting value. I don't think there's one guy that's more important to his respective team than J.D. Martinez is to the Red
oh,
Sox.
I don't,
with due respect to Mookie
I
Betts.
I think you're right, but that's the problem.
How far
some,
apart does he
some
finish?
Of that, some of that isn't tangible. We can't say this is tangible
I
evidence.
Agree. Yeah.
Like, hey, you know what? He helped Rafael Devers. He helped this guy. He had an influence on Xander Bogaerts being better, hitting behind
but,
him.
But you know what? I still can't put that over the value of playing defense and the fact that Mike Trout and Mookie Betts are essentially J.D. Martinez with top-shelf defense. You can't – I get the intellectual argument, and maybe Mookie Betts isn't this good without J.D. Martinez – but in terms of ability on the field, which is what I think the award should go to first, there are different levels.
So you think of it more as a player of the year?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
unless there's some really compelling argument, and this might be as close as you get, but if you watch J.D. Martinez in the outfield, he's not bad, but he's clearly not the defender. That
obviously. No, yeah. Nobody's going to make that argument.
So then why? But okay, but I that's... So all these other arguments you're making around it aren't enough for me to go,
But I'm assessing the award entirely through a different prism than you are. I'm looking at it through a different lens.
Yeah, through ambiguity and an indefensible set of criteria.
Not ambiguity. It's the idea that not everything in the world, even in the world of baseball, can necessarily be quantified.
I know
that's sacrilege to the stat heads who want every single thing to have a number attached to it in some way. But there are certain qualities that are just beyond the scope of even Baseball Reference or, and I know this is true heresy, or Fangraphs. That's right,
you,
I said it.
I don't know
the
which best, one. Evan,
damn it, I said it.
I don't know
it.
Which Evan. Which
this
one.
Is breaking news.
Where are we at in the poll? Where are we at?
There's three votes.
Five minutes, would you? Just give it a marinade.
It's like weighing myself. I weigh myself every day
votes.
Now.
Give it a few minutes, okay? I'm going to give my vote here. All right.
Kyle, what's the update?
Who are you voting for?
I'll tell you later.
What's the update, Kyle?
Go back. Why he's looking that up? Go back to the Triple Crown conversation.
I have it in front of me. It's 36% Fangraphs, 64% Baseball Reference.
Oh,
14 votes, folks. Give it a little bit of time.
Okay?
That 9-5.
I think the best baseball debates these days, in this age of quantification and everything can be measured, are the ones where we set off and agree at the outset we don't have set criteria. For example, on the way over here in my car.
After you woke up with your girlfriend.
Right before I pulled into the fast food breakfast
It's getting
chain,
weird, man.
Cumberland
like it's,
Farms.
The more you say it, it's getting weird.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Tangent, right? Okay.
At least you're not defensive about it. As a subset to this, I have a question about the war. Oh, go ahead. I apologize.
I'm literally in the middle of posing
a
question.
Go ahead.
Are you going to get an angry email from Joe Zarbon about all the tangents
like,
you go
aren't
on
sensitive.
And the interruption of flow in the conversation like I did?
I don't know.
Let me ask my question.
You get an email from Joe Zarbon.
Let me ask my
question. Go ahead.
Just now?
No, this is after the show.
I think an interesting
week.
Discussion along these lines is who are the core Red Sox players? Because you don't set out with a definition of what is core. I'm not going to tell you this is how I think of core. I don't think there's a way to define core. But I referenced that in a story yesterday, and I had to have that conversation with myself. Who makes up the core players?
Did you I'm being totally serious.
Well,
when you
Mitch
when you're doing Moreland. That, did you verbalize it out loud?
I might have. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Chris, nobody talks to himself more than Evan.
Because you have to sound these things out.
I think it's an endearing quality.
Is Mitch Moreland a core Red Sox player? Yes or no?
No.
You're thinking about it for
yes.
a second.
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, see, there you go. And this is why this is interesting. Because core means something different to each of you, and this is part of baseball's problem. When people say analytics have driven the game down,
this is what you were talking.
Yeah,
to,
this is really. This is really.
About?
Are you saying? Did you stop yourself and say out loud? This is getting really convoluted and wonky.
It's not convoluted and wonky. I think you're a simpleton.
So when analytics are driving the game down,
because when you have analytics, there's a clear answer. That's the problem to some degree. Is that that you can when you can measure everything. And by the way, wins above replacement is not a clear answer, and I can circle back to that in a minute. But the problem is, it's like we know, okay, the exit velocity, whatever. When we can tell you definitively something, I can't tell you definitively what makes a core player. That's just inside of your heart. It's the baseball fire that's burning and that you throw logs on every time you ask yourself while driving in your car, is this guy a core player.
Which
or not.
Do you love more, your girlfriend or analytics?
Mitch Moreland.
Okay, there you go.
Let's go to JP in North Providence. He's got Mattapoisett advice for Evan and me.
That's a good transition.
Hello, JP.
Gentlemen, so when you go to Mattapoisett, what is the go-to ice cream at Oxford Creamery? And the second question, do you bring the ice cream to the lighthouse with your significant other, have it right at the benches at the creamery, or take it down to the dock at Mattapoisett Town Beach?
Ooh.
That's what we need to know this morning.
Can we put up that poll, Kyle?
Yeah, we're gonna get that poll up too. Let's get that one going. I would go to the lighthouse. I go right up to the lighthouse.
I haven't been to a lighthouse in a very long time.
Do you remember your last lighthouse experience?
Well, I used to live in Long Island briefly. I'm from New York City. I don't want people to get this confused, but when I was younger and I lived out in Long Island, I do remember visiting lighthouses, yes.
Well, the ultimate lighthouse scene is American Pie 2. Where Nadia.
No, I disagree. It's Pete's Dragon. When the dragon comes in and lights the lighthouse so that the ship can come
safely
in.
As I said, the ultimate lighthouse scene is American Pie 2.
I used to love that movie, Peach Dragon, when I was a kid. It's a great movie.
There's a lighthouse involved in the movie The Ring, which scared the living daylights out of me as a high schooler. I cannot do horror movies. I hate them. Hate them.
You would have liked Peach Dragon. Wonderful.
Is that a horror
movie? No, it's a wonderful movie about a boy and his dragon.
I don't like horror. I don't like
gore. The boy is named Pete.
I, as I said on these airways before,
he
my
a dragon.
Book
it's not
a
complicated
child
title.
Was Jeremy Thatcher, Dragon Hatcher.
Okay, fair enough.
Who could forget when you said that before?
Young adult reader series.
617-779-7937. We get back to some of your phone calls. Also, I saw there was a bit of a Twitter media beef.
Spicy.
It was a little spicy yesterday.
Didn't involve, I don't think, any of us.
It did not involve any of us and did not involve the morning show.
No.
So believe it or not.
Are we getting away from these core player discussions?
We're going to have more Mitch Moreland.
I have
core player.
I have 2012 MVP thoughts I wanted to share very quickly.
You can hop out in the hallway and just talk to yourself about it.
I do that in the break anyway.
That's fair enough. Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Bradford, Drellick, and Villani on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sports Radio WEEI, Villani, Drellick, Bradford, or Bradford, Drellick, Villani. Evan gets bent out of shape if I put his name last. So.
Thank you.
Bradford, Villani, and Drellick, I think is a good. No, I don't want to be last. You're right. No, I don't know what I want. Let me think about it.
We don't even need to be here.
This is, by the way, him talking. He just
did a whole thing right there.
There you go.
Am I really this crazy? Do you guys not have conversations? What do you think when you're driving?
Yes, you're out of your
freaking
mind.
Empty?
No, I
usually sing along to the radio.
I honestly say I do not talk to myself out loud.
Why?
I don't talk
to
myself.
No one's in the car.
Because I can
care?
Do it internally. There's no.
What's the difference? What do you care?
There's
no one's in the car.
If I say anything out loud.
It's a sign of insanity when you talk to yourself.
Says who?
Says me.
Okay,
psychiatrist.
Since when are you?
How many in that press box when you're talking to yourself? How many other people are talking to
like
themselves?
Like I'm walking around the entire. Press
you kind of are.
Just,
you kind of are, Evan.
Just muttering, and I'm not.
Is Mitch Moreland a core player? Yeah. He could be a core player. Yes, it really depends on your value.
There you
of
go.
Core. It's kind of an existential discussion when you really think
it
about
is.
It. That's people could look at it in different ways, and Fangraphs WAR has some advantages, but Baseball Reference for pitchers is a little.
That's a Tuesday.
That's you.
That's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's a Tuesday
that's
sitting next
look
to Evan.
At it. I took one of those online personality tests, and it was me to a T. I actually would love if both of you took it, and we could maybe
it's one of those
the
like
results.
Your ENJZ
yes.
or whatever.
Yes, the Jung whatever type.
But I feel like I did one of those once.
But it's actually like unlike astrology, which is, you know, you really can't believe in. This,
I'm an
this
Aquarius.
Is kind of surprise for something that boils people down to 16 different types. This one was pretty dead on.
Hit the nail on the head?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
Do you talk to yourself? Is that one of the questions?
No.
That was not one of the questions.
Not one of the questions.
What letter would that make you?
It's about what kind of thinker you are, what kind of
who talks to himself.
You're one who thinks out loud.
I think out loud. I sound it out. What's the
problem?
No,
all I'm saying, I said it's endearing. That's what I said to you before.
I'm not here for your endearment, Dink.
So you guys want
to makes me love you more.
You guys want to hear about how to fix baseball, or do you want to talk about Twitter beef from yesterday?
Let's do the.
No, I want to stick with baseball. They're both baseball related.
Let's do the call,
okay,
and then see how far that gets to. And maybe do the Twitter beef at the top of the hour.
All right, let's see. Thinking out loud here now with the three of us. That's the way it's supposed to work.
If I get a drink in the vending machine during the break,
I mean, I could go.
I have enough money. Why would I?
I could go with a Snapple. I could go with a diet Snapple, but then they got the aspartame, and that's not really great.
Is Mitch Moreland a core player?
Sam in Connecticut up next.
I was on with Pete the other day
on WEEI. Hello, Sam. Sam.
Hey, fixing baseball talk, everyone's favorite radio topic.
There you go.
Right. So
strong out of the gate, Sam. Talk!
Bring it! Why?
See, this is, again.
What was the point of that?
This is
that really that
you know
funny?
What Sam is? Sam is the guy on Twitter, right? Sam is the guy on Twitter.
The one guy?
Yes, the one guy on Twitter who says, good at fixing baseball talk.
Twitter, you need to get away from Twitter.
I'm also pretty sure Sam was listening to the wrong station. But
I'm looking at Twitter, I'm like, Dale.
it's unhealthy.
I haven't been on it nearly as much.
I mean, I still sit on it, but I don't respond. I don't engage. It's
only 7% of people are on Twitter.
Ooh, who is?
How many followers did you lose in the Great Purge?
I gained some. I don't know how
fishy.
That happens.
That's fishy.
No, don't you gain some? You can gain some.
You can always gain some.
No, I think I did. I certainly didn't lose any.
Dude, get off Twitter.
I have a very pure Twitter account.
I gained a bunch after the Rita tweet from a couple of nights ago that sums up the Red Sox.
You got some retweets from powerful people like me.
Demographic, yeah.
It's also good. Now we gave the address, so everyone is giving Rita's. Sending letters back to Rita.
And there was somebody, there was a TV reporter in Maine who responded in a tweet thread, and he's like, oh, that made it seem like you wanted to track Rita down and do a little human interest feature on this woman who's knitting all these pairs of mittens while she listens to Tim Nevern and Joe Castiglione. It's not going to take much Woodward and Bernstein-level investigative reporting.
Yeah.
They tweeted the letter with her phone number and address right there.
Keep up the good work, I told him.
That's right. Never gets old. In case people don't know, to add some context to it, Rita was someone who said she enjoys the Red Sox radio broadcast immensely and knits mittens, right?
Mittens.
He's a wonderful
she knits
man.
Mittens.
She knits mittens.
she's up to, she's got to pick up the pace a little bit because as of whenever they read this letter, it was this week, so it was Monday, I think. She was at 25 pairs of mittens. She wants to get to 100 by the World Series. So I'm no mitten expert. But
what do you think
her pace is not?
What do you think her reaction to like the Mookie Betts Grand Slam was? Do you think she stabbed herself with her
knitting needles? Are pretty dull.
Why is that where your brain went? I think my brain is.
I'm thinking about no matter young or old, in this great game of baseball, Evan, we all react to moments like that.
Who do you think leapt out of their chair faster, Kirk Minahan or Rita? That's the who had more spunk in that moment?
Who had more spunk, Kirk or Rita?
Yes,
I don't know.
Keep up the good work, I told him.
Who is that?
That's Rita.
That's not actually Rita.
Yeah, it is. We had her on.
Did you have Rita on?
You're looking at me for.
Yes.
I didn't have Rita on.
Well, she's your lady. She's your discovery.
No, she's not. She discovered herself. She's self-discovered. She sent a letter into... it's kind of like the process you're going through, this journey of self-discovery, and whether Mitch Moreland's a core player. She sent in a letter to...
Rob said no.
Tim Neverett.
We hooked up Rita with Fred from Maryland. Yes.
Rob, why isn't
it? But it was right around the time, too, and Rita seems very sweet, but it was right around the time where there's discussion about baseball and the interest in baseball and the demographics, and next thing you know, we're reading a letter on the air from an 85-year-old woman in rural Maine who's knitting mittens while watching
the game. It is bizarre, you know.
It couldn't be more perfect.
It is. So this conversation happened all week long based off that Shaughnessy article, right? And usually this happens the week of the All-Star break. Because you get the demographic of the age of people watching the All-Star game, and it's like 55, and then you're on your way for the conversation. This was a week early.
Yeah.
And Rita obviously kept it going with her side of things, but this was the news of the day this entire week, wasn't it?
Rita.
I mean, Rita, Rita, Mookie Betts Grand Slam. It is a great juxtaposition about how exciting this great game of baseball is. And then you're sitting in the Red Sox clubhouse yesterday, and you're watching this tennis match, and they're showing 5.5 hours. It's like, what are you complaining about? 5.5 hours.
Which one went 5.5 hours?
I don't know. I saw Nadal or something.
Serena.
Michael Silverman turns to me. Michael Silverman teams turns to me and says, now we're going to find out what Nadal's made of. Are you actually, these words coming out of your mouth?
Do we think we know what Rafa's made of?
I guess. It's 5.5 hours in. I would have been gone 2 hours ago.
I saw
We're
Serena
about
lost.
Baseball. Did she?
Yeah.
Lovely Rita Mita made. Anybody?
Howard and Randolph, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Morning. Hey, Howard.
Rob, you're the baseball expert there today, correct?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. That hurts.
I have a question. Well, I'm not saying you guys don't know. I'm just saying the expert.
Yeah, thank you.
I mostly cover the Celtics.
No, thank you. Go ahead, Howard.
Drellick's one of the best Patriots beat writers out there.
Howard, go ahead.
Don't
listen to them. They're shenanigans. Right. Go ahead, Howard.
Of the four major sports, baseball is the only one that does not allow players to come in and out like the other three do. Is there a chance of maybe considering either having a free substitution in baseball or on a limited basis?
Why?
His place. Problem.
Didn't who wrote this? Didn't somebody write a column or something?
Nobody's talking about that.
No, but at the beginning of the year,
Verducci.
Was that Verducci?
He always writes the things.
I thought it was somebody.
Baseball could be due and.
No, but it was
so
like it was
so
the ninth inning and your team's down. You can bat anybody you want on a one-time thing. I don't think it was Verducci, but it was somebody.
As the baseball expert on this panel, I will say that would make no difference to bringing the demographic down.
And this is one of my issues with this whole like fixed baseball thing is it very quickly devolves into what if there were four innings and one strike and everything was fair no matter where the ball went. Like it really... very quickly becomes
it is what it
past
is.
The point.
It is what it is.
There's analysis for it.
No, it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I'll pull an Evan here. As Rick Porcello told me earlier this week, when people buy tickets to a baseball game, this is what they're getting. There's only so much you can do to fix this game that you're going
to
see.
Question. If the clubhouse was on fire, it was burning, you have 1 minute. You can only save Joe Kelly or Rick Porcello. Who do you save?
I save you, Evan.
I'm already out.
Because you're clearly.
Because Evan's not a baseball expert. He's not in it.
David Price ran out of the clubhouse, grabbed me by the collar, and said, "You're coming with me." He wasn't going to leave me behind. Okay, so I'm clear.
I say both
you, Joe, and Rick. And you can only grab one.
I say
because in your new skinny and beautiful state, you don't have the strength to grab two.
And David Price, because you're both very good for business, both of you. So there's your answer.
You just said you're letting Rob.
It's not a lie.
I think you would save Porcello because I think Joe Kelly, that well has been, I mean, we got all the way back to his 21st birthday party. I don't know how much more of Joe Kelly there is to uncover. I think there's more.
I felt like
unmined terrain
media star,
with Purcell.
I want a media star for my story on Joe Kelly.
Well, you gave yourself a media star.
No, you gave me the media star.
Oh, yeah, I did give you the
media
star.
Yeah, you gave me the media star.
By the way, my uncle still doesn't think media stars are real. Until he physically sees a Gould's Distinctive Clothing gift card, he is not going to believe that media stars are actually real.
Oh, we got them. They're back, baby. They're back this week.
Where?
11:45.
Where are they?
They're back.
No, where's my award? Where's my prize?
I'm going to burst into the office.
I won months ago.
Prize. Yes. Ugh. All you need to know, maybe you'll win this week, but they're back. 11:45 today.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Did you have something else? Or
no.
Okay, great.
What was I supposed to say?
I still want to revisit the 2012 MVP discussion.
617-779-7937. Twitter beef. We'll get into that coming up next. We got your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. Bradfo, Drellick, Villani, Sports Radio WEEI.